This episode of the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast is brought to you by SurfPrepSanding.com. For all your sanding needs, check out SurfPrepSanding.com.
And avoids it.
Wow, that's
like,
cool.
Falls down. So from my perspective, I thought he just got cracked and was like down. So I'm like, oh, I didn't know if it was head, body, whatever. But I saw him go down to the ground and I go, ah, crap, this sucks. And now he's running back towards me. Well, I've already got my baton out. Like, all right, cool. Baseball swing. Here we go.
Yeah.
And as he's closing the distance, like he's just got, he's running. And at the last second he raises up and I go, okay. And I'm already back ready to deliver the baton strike.
Yeah.
And I see it and I had two thoughts. I went, shit, that's not a twig.
Right. Yeah. No shit.
And then the second thought was, I really hope that I don't go unconscious.
Welcome to the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast, the show about life on the street as a beat cop and life in the shop as a woodworker. They pull no punches and tell it like it is. So buckle in and get ready. Now, here are your hosts from Marazzo Woodworking, Mike Marazzo, and from Full House Woodworking, Brandon Silvera.
There's Brandon flexing in his Velocity Screw shirt. No,
I was oh, point doing the like
right here. Me. This guy.
Yeah.
Right
this,
here.
This guy.
This guy. The guy with two thumbs right here. Welcome to episode 70, Brandon. I'm Mike Marazzo. That's Brandon Silvera. Thank you for being patient. We have a new listener, Brandon, who's been emailing, wondering when the new episode is coming out. He binged the first 110 episodes or whatever it is, including pre-shows. And now he's just been waiting for episode 70. So
is this man mentally well?
I hope so.
His, I say, because he's not, if he'd binged all of our crap, he definitely isn't.
And he's from Illinois in a city called Northbrook, which is just north of me, where I actually interviewed for a job at the Northbrook PD a few years ago. I forget what the role was, but it wasn't.
Oh, when you were going back and forth on if you were going to retire or not retire, but maybe like kind of retire, pseudo retire, and like, but still kind of work, but then not work. But
yeah,
then,
and you know what? I wish I would have done
the right thing came along.
Yeah, I wish I would have just stayed working. Anyways, how are you?
I wish I could retire.
No, you actually don't. It sucks. It's overrated.
Get paid to do whatever I want, like go to Arizona for 10 days and like chill out at spring training. Like, oh no, that's so terrible.
Well, that was cool, except it rained on the day the game was supposed to be played between the Cubs and the Sox, and it hadn't had rain all year. So the so the game got called. We didn't even get the first pitch. Yeah. It got called before first pitch.
Yeah, you're having a rough go. You're having a rough go of things.
Yeah. Hey, the house is on the market. The Alabama house went listed on Friday.
Cool. What's it listed at?
What's how much you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, 548. I did a shit ton of work to it. So, and I have two Ring cameras, of course. I took down all the alarm and stuff because I was going to, when I had to do all the remodeling and the windows and all the trim work, I had to take all the sensors off the doors and stuff. But I still have a Ring camera on the door, and then I have one in the kitchen, like one of those stick-up cams. Mm-hmm. So I get to see everyone as they come in my house, and I get to listen. So yesterday was an open house, and then the realtor's talking right in the dining room there, and I can hear everything. And Kim's like, "You're creeping on these people."
And I'm like, "Yes, I am."
Yeah, you're damn right, I am. I want to hear if they're interested in the house. What the
correct? Very good, Kim.
Right? Yeah. The first couple that walked in, the woman, she's walking up to the front door. Okay, this house was built in 1990. Lots of stonework and bricks are in the house. When you walk up to the porch itself is elevated, and it's stone and brick. And then there's a stone face on the front of the house. She's walking up the steps, and she says to her husband, "Do you think you could do something with all this concrete and bricks?" And he's just like looking at her like, "What are you, fucking nuts? What do you want me to tear out a brick porch to build a wooden porch?" I could just picture what was
she
going through his head.
She watches too much HGTV.
Right?
So it doesn't really match my aesthetic.
No. And then they came into the house, and they're walking around in the kitchen and the dining room. Never made it through the kitchen where there's a brand new laundry room and a brand new bathroom. They got to the refrigerator, and she's like, "I could swear this house was built in 1970. And the realtor's on her phone. No, no, it says 1990. And I'm just sitting there watching all this. Kim's going, just shut it off. These people are pissing you off. Just shut off the camera and stop watching.
Yeah, you can't take it personally, Mike.
No, I don't.
People are dumb.
Yeah, as we know, right? Think that's what we call what, job security? Because of dumb people.
Yeah.
Well, you do.
I like dumb people.
I don't have that job security anymore. So yeah, that house is for sale. And if you want to buy it, just see my realtor. We had an open house yesterday, and the couple that came without an agent, because it's an open house, you don't need an agent to go and look at an open house, they actually like the house and are going to come back with their agent, so it's official, even though they're selling their home. So it would be a contingency, but that's when you write in there that if someone comes in with a better offer that can close sooner, they can scoop it up. And that's how we ended up getting the house. So I don't know. We'll see. My brain's about to explode, Brandon.
It's been real estate with Mike.
Literally. For 18 months. Sell a house in Idaho, buy a house in Alabama, fix up a house in Alabama. Now selling the house in Alabama. So, I don't know. I'm tired.
So you're just going to stay in Illinois?
No. For the time being, I'm just stopped looking for houses at the moment. And then once we sell this house, we will then begin. Because we looked at, with the help of John Erickson from O-Dark 30, John went with a couple realtors to a few houses in his area, and we did FaceTime walkthroughs with the realtors on a couple houses that were pretty decent, but ended up we didn't really like them. So I'm going to stop looking because I got frustrated, and this is where I said to Kim, okay, I can't seem to find anything that you really like, so here, when you find a house you like, then I'll look at it. So now I'm just taking that off my list of things to do, which was every day staring at Zillow, getting mad. So don't do that anymore.
You gotta give yourself a time frame, Mike. You can't just make that your new job.
And I know.
You gotta say, like, you know what? For an hour, I'm gonna look at Zillow. And then I'm gonna put it away.
For the rest of the day.
Go do something else.
Yeah. So that's been me.
Come on, Mike. Come on. That's addictive behavior.
Yeah, it is. You know what? You get into that trap, right? You fall down the rabbit hole, if you will. And that's my rabbit hole now is this damn Zillow app. Because part of me doesn't want to buy another house now because it's a pain in the ass having a property in another state that you have to go to on occasion, you know, all that kind of stuff. But part of me wants to get the house now. So if there is anything that needs to be done before Kim retires in the next 4 years, it could be done. So when she does retire and we just go forever, nothing needs to be done by the time we move in. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, except for that whole 4 year time frame.
Well, she could retire now, actually, but she doesn't want to.
But she's not going to. So you're going to have two mortgages for 4 years.
Well, no. Luckily, I'm fortunate enough that I don't. I don't have a mortgage on the other house because we inherited Uncle Harold's house, who was paid off, bought this house with that. So no mortgage. It's just upkeep.
Okay.
I got to pay landscapers.
Okay. So you just have the one. Okay.
Yeah. So I just have one mortgage, but I do pay all utilities.
Just find a guy in the neighborhood
taxes.
Who's got like a 13-year-old kid that wants to make like 20 bucks a week.
Well,
there's your landscaper.
Yeah. Maybe for the next house, because this we have currently have 5 acres. So we can't have a kid out there for 4 hours with a push mower.
You're talking about the Alabama house.
Right. Not this house. I've got two adult kids that live home that push mowers. Matter of fact, Morgan's out there mowing right now, paying her
good
rent.
Good job.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's get on to your work stuff. Once you tell us your exciting I almost shot a guy story, and then I've got a law enforcement story for you.
Okay.
Might not be
short. So, well, I think we all know I'm pretty brief on things. Especially things that are still being adjudicated.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's been since November since we've talked. Some other things that must have
happened. Yeah, but this happened. Well, yeah, I mean, this happened recently, and I can't remember everything. So my recruit that just finished with me, I think this is like his second week. So a quick little backstory on him. This kid has got like the worst luck in the world. So he started back in like early November.
Okay.
And he had an accident.
Like in his pants?
Where
car crash?
He wishes.
Okay.
So he removed part of his pinky in a patrol car door.
Oh, farts. Holy moly. Shut the front door. That's got to hurt. Job related, though.
Yeah.
You're on duty. IOD.
So So it was the last day of his first rotation.
Oh.
So he's been out since November. So the FTO office said, hey, we're going to start him all the way over week one, day one.
Get out.
No limbo, no nothing. Like, he can keep some of the reports he did.
Okay.
But let's try to get him. Like, okay, fine. But usually they have these two limbo weeks where you're not graded. It's just like, hey, let's get you used to being a cop and being in uniform and being in a patrol car and being the authority. He didn't get that.
Oh.
He was not afforded that, which, well, going forward.
It kind of makes sense, though. Right?
I mean, I get it, but he's also been on his ass for 5 to 6 months.
Oh, that's true.
So that's like a whole nother academy.
Right.
So, like, he, in my opinion, needed time to get that. But it's a pretty rare situation that they're not used to handling, and now we know for next time. So, jumps in the car with me, and I think this was like week two. We go to stop a, let's see, the state wants to call them unhoused, but they're homeless.
Okay.
Transient, if you will.
F in California.
Because I guess homeless is too divisive and too hard on their delicate psyches.
Okay.
So he sees the mail in a 7-Eleven parking lot.
A vagrant. A
shopping cart.
Okay.
A homeless dude.
John Rambo.
With a shopping cart from some other business. Okay. That is not the 7-Eleven. And he goes, that is a violation of not just the Muni code, but the Business and Professions code.
You guys have
it's a legal reason. It's a legal reason to stop and talk to somebody.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So he gets out of the car and tries to talk to the guy. The guy immediately starts yelling and balling up his fist. And he has something in his hand that appears to me to be a very thin, like, stick.
Like a shank?
No, like a little tree stick.
Okay.
Like a long tree stick.
Baby Groot.
That if you were to swing it and hit somebody with it, it would just snap.
Okay.
Nothing like, not like a branch.
Okay.
Or something like that. So he's like stumble farting his way through it. Of like, I'm police. You stop. So I'm okay. This is going downhill fast. I already know what's about to happen. Hey, dude. Hey, police. You're not free to leave. And apparently, to him, that meant like raise that go.
Yeah.
I thought I said it pretty clear. I definitely didn't say it in Spanish.
See.
But like he starts like turning around, walking away. And my recruit is like very slowly walking towards him. And I look at the recruit and I look at him and I look back at the recruit. And are you going to let this guy walk away from you? Or like, what are we doing?
Go get him.
You already put out the stop. You already know he's detained. I told you he's detained. Are you going to go get him? Or are we just going to like come up with the ear and be like, he gone.
GOA, gone on like, arrival.
Just let me know. Just let me know what you want to do. And he read the room correctly, and he dropped his center of gravity and pew, took off after him. To which I went, oh, fuck, I gotta run.
Right. Now I have to chase my recruit chasing the guy. Yeah.
And then one of my other partners comes up. He's like, oh, what's the, I could just go. Trust that I'm making the right decision. I would shut this down if it was the wrong decision. So he goes, takes off like a bat out of hell. And he's an admin assigned from my recruit's actual academy class. So he's pretty new.
Okay.
I don't know why they put him on an FTO team, but that's a whole nother thing that I'm not going to get into. So the chase is on and I'm trying to key up my mic to say, hey, we're in a foot pursuit. Like, that'd be cool. Like, can I have some friends?
Yeah.
My other buddy knew that we were going to stop this guy. Cause I saw him and I go, hey dude, I called him up. I go, hey, we're going to stop this guy. And he looks familiar, but I can't really place it. It might have been a guy that fought with us. Like, usually those are the ones that stick out to me.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a memory with you. And I can't remember what it is. It's either funny or we got into a fight.
Ah, see. That was logged.
Like, after the fact, I realize it.
Yeah.
It was back there.
Yeah.
So it's about 150-foot chase when all of a sudden the male turns around, raises the object in his right hand, and swings it.
Ooh.
Hitting my recruit in the arm.
He actually hit him.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I later found out is that it was like a 1/8 to 1/4 inch thick round stock of steel.
Holy shit. Not a twig.
And it bent over his arm.
Wow.
Yeah. So then he swings it at the other guy. He like pulls this matrix move and avoids it.
Wow. That's like, cool.
Falls down. So from my perspective, I thought he just got cracked and is like down. So I'm like, oh, I didn't know if it was head, body, whatever, but I saw him go down to the ground and I go, ah, crap, this sucks. And now he's running back towards me. Well, I've already got my baton out. Like, all right, cool. Baseball swing. Here we go.
Yeah.
And as he's closing the distance, like he's just got, he's running. And at the last second he raises up and I go, okay. And I'm already back ready to deliver the baton strike.
Yeah.
And I see it and I had two thoughts. I went, shit, that's not a twig.
Right. Yeah. No shit.
And then the second thought was, I really hope that I don't go unconscious.
Yeah, that's not.
So he comes down, he hits the bill of my hat.
Okay.
As I'm swinging. So my head is going down because I can see that this is going to suck.
Yeah.
So I go to kind of look away from it while I deliver the strike. Obviously it's not a very good baton strike.
Well, you're ducking and covering and swinging at the same time.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. So hit him one time. It's ineffective. He goes to run again. I go to chase him. He stops, turns back, and goes to raise up again. This time there's a little bit of difference. He doesn't have a momentum coming towards me. I don't have momentum coming towards him.
Right.
So you can see in the camera footage, my baton starts to go down
as
because
you're
I'm
for
in the
taser?
Process of going, no, I was gun. Going to gun. He's already, like at this point, I've recognized this as a deadly weapon. Yeah. I've seen him hit one officer. Right. I thought he cracked another officer to where he's down on the ground. This guy is a menace. Ongoing threat to public safety, is going to continue to use violence with now what I know is a weapon capable of inflicting great bodily injury or death in a place that's heavily populated by civilians. And if anybody gets in his way, he has already demonstrated that he is willing to use
whacking the head
that deadly weapon, that deadly weapon to get away. So all of this is going through my head as my hand is going down to release the baton and go to gun.
Just what, you're going to drop it?
As your so I was like, fuck it. I'm not going to take the time to re-ring this thing. Like, that's time I don't have.
Right.
So I'm just going to yard sale it behind me as I go into my draw stroke.
Just and throw then, it at him.
I mean, that was another thing. But again, this played out in the span of like half a second, if that.
Right.
But then I see, like, and this is something I talk to recruits about is, the more, like when they're in it, they just see
the tunnel vision,
a very small, they get that tunnel vision,
right?
Really small picture. As you're in these situations more, that little tunnel gets bigger and you start to see the everything. World around you.
Yeah.
So as I was going to my gun, excuse me, I see people in a restaurant directly behind him. Now the distance between us is probably 5 to 7 feet. Is a 9mm hollow point round going to go through him and then into something else? Probably not, but am I going to miss that shot? Absolutely not. But I do have to worry about the overpenetration. It's probably not going to happen, but that's a big risk.
Right.
So as I'm going down, I'm like, this is going to suck. And then he took off running and we go, okay, fine. We'll just chase him again. and then the partner and my recruit show back up. I'm like, oh good. You're not dead.
Yeah. No kidding.
I don't see you guys covered in blood. We're doing good. We're good. Winning.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. This is kind of a draw at this point. Some would argue that we were losing.
Okay.
So at this point, like I see them both with batons. I'm like, fuck the batons, guys. I'm like, go to taser, go to taser, go to taser. Just tase the dude. Let's be done with this.
Right. Yeah.
And then finally, my buddy, who's a former SWAT guy, comes out and just goes straight to taser. And his camera is hilarious because we have the taser 7, I think.
Okay.
And it's somewhat new to us. And most of his time has been with our SWAT team and he hasn't really had a chance or really a need to use it. So in his camera, he's like, you see him come up, pull the trigger on it. nothing happened. He's like, what the hell? And you see me push a button. He goes, oh, wrong button.
Still had time though.
Yes. But like, and this is all happening like in the middle of violent assault. And like, we're still like joking and stuff. He's there we go.
Of course.
Tases him. Guy goes down. Apparently the guy tripped.
Hmm.
The probe spread wasn't very far.
Oh, okay.
And then the other two get there and they're just like staring at him.
Like, don't just on the ground there. Like, get on him.
Like during the 5 second exposure, it's like they're just looking at him like, get him.
Get hands.
It's like, like once that's over, it's gonna, like, he's gonna be mad, guys.
Right, yeah.
So like, but in the middle of it, like, I didn't have time to formulate those words because I was already so pissed that he swung at my head.
Yeah.
So I just jumped on him and grabbed an arm. And that's when they went like, oh, yeah, we should be doing that.
Yeah. Good for you.
So then we took him into custody and he's been charged with 3 counts of 245 or assault with a deadly weapon on an officer. And
oh, good. No.
Resisting and
okay,
all this other stuff.
So injuries? Any injuries from the kid who got hit with in the arm with the steel pipe?
He had a really, really good bruise, like a solid bruise.
No broken bones, though.
No broken bones.
That's good.
I had a nice little mark on my hat. Thankfully, the last second turn to the side was like enough that it probably saved me, because if I wasn't wearing a hat or sunglasses, I probably would have had a gash, like probably all the way across my face.
Like, not so much here, but right. Right, like across here. right here. Yeah.
Well. And then we were talking about it afterwards. We're like, my SWAT buddy had told me, like, hey, dude, like, if you had gone down, like, it was going to be a mag dump sort of deal.
Yeah.
That guy.
Oh, no doubt.
I go, well, I had the thought of when he was raised up, because he had kind of his run path. He jumped up on like a small brick retaining wall. I didn't even call it like retaining wall. It was like layered 3 bricks high.
Yeah, but still a retaining wall.
Yeah. So he was on that. So he's in an elevated position. So I had the brief thought of like, do I just drop to my back, grab my gun and just.
Oh, as you're going down?
Like, no, like just drop to my back and from a prone on my back position.
Right.
Just, I don't have to worry about a backdrop at that point.
Right.
So I'm like, I mean, I know what goes up must come down, but I don't think it's going to really go up through him and then up.
Yeah. Right.
It'll tumble and maybe land on the roof of something, but. So that was an eventful day.
Hell yeah. And they, like Cook County, they would question the officer's injury before they would approve felony aggravated assault on a peace officer. If you don't go to the hospital, they don't give it to you.
That's interesting. I was
it's not the word
pretty
we
happy
use.
That. Well, that's, I'm being nice.
Yeah.
This goes out to the public.
I'm so nice. I'm so happy that they actually got those charges on him. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, whether or not they'll actually follow through on it, or if they'll use that as a
starting
bargaining chip to play him out, which, I mean, I don't really care. It's a fun fact. A records check of this mail revealed a ICE detainer warrant for a previously deported felon that I am prohibited from communicating with that federal agency on.
Wow.
Which is super awesome. So someone who had been previously deported as a felon came back into the country. I'm assuming under less than legal circumstances.
A surprise.
And committed a violent assault. And looking through his history, there's been multiple assaults on officers committed by this person.
Yeah, so but you cool. know, the liberals want him to come back and have more chances at hurting people.
I mean, maybe he's learned his lesson now.
Oh, sure.
You know what's weird? It is like now, like looking back on it, I do recognize this guy, and I started looking into some of the like the reports and stuff to like refresh my memory. And he always like does the same thing, and then once the cuffs are on, it's like, all right, I lost.
Yeah, you got me.
It's like he does his shit for fun.
Wow. I've known guys like that. You know, they'll put up a fight until you actually have them, and then it's like, hey, what's going on? What?
All right.
Yeah.
Good game, guys. You got me this time.
Yeah, it is actually a game, right?
I almost had you.
Right. We hope to win all the time. They hope to win some of the time. So a little bit of a different game plan.
That was my almost shooting.
Well, it actually came really, really close. I mean, the last time I almost shot some guy, he was in a dark warehouse doing a burglary alarm, and he walked up to us. Hispanic cleaning guy just came out of nowhere. Me and my buddy drew down on him, almost shot him. Like,
did he? Fuck. Did he say he's okay? Did he say he's okay?
He's okay. He didn't even say that. I'm just like, yelling at him to get on the ground. He keeps walking towards you. I'm like, fuck.
You have his headphones on?
No. Just
no. We actually had a fun one. We had a technically, I guess it got classified as an armed robbery.
Okay.
But this other unhoused, homeless, transient, vagrant, whatever insert title you want to give people, walked into a liquor store, and this liquor store sells singles of alcohol.
Okay.
You know, in case you can't afford the full sixer or 12er.
Right.
It's like you can buy a single bottle of beer.
Wow.
Charges you $1.50.
That's pretty good. That's better than a ball game.
That's what I was thinking. So this person comes into the store, grabs a bottle of beer, throws a dollar on the table, and he's like, you're 50 cents short. And an argument ensues, and he pulls out a knife and starts waving it around. And the guy's like, I don't speak Spanish. I don't know what the hell he was saying, but I thought he was going to stab me.
Right.
Would you say that you were afraid?
Yes. Please. Yes. I was in fear of receiving a battery.
So you're telling me that you were afraid during this, that he caused fear. He used fear to accomplish this theft. Yes. Cool. Good enough for me. That's a robbery.
Yeah, it is.
And I looked at the surveillance footage. And I go, I know this guy. Like he's like a 6 foot. He's on my height, maybe a little bit taller, skinny, super skinny dude, super muscular, like a basketball player type build. And he has a very distinctive haircut and everything. I go, oh, I know this guy. And I'm like looking up the last case. I'm like, oh, here's the name. All right, cool. All right, I know where he hangs out. I go, hey, dude, what you're going to do is you're going to write a felony affidavit like you're taking this guy into custody. He goes, yeah, but he's not here. I go, don't worry.
We'll get him.
Don't worry. We got 3 days. But you're going to go put this on file with our warrants unit. And then we're going to look for him. It's like, okay. And this dude, like he looked and looked for like a full day. He looked from the moment that call was over all through the next day. He is looking. And so Friday rolls around. It's the end of our shift. And a lot of people from our team are like, one's going to the academy. One's going into the detective bureau. One's going to a different shift. So there's a lot of movement. So like the band is breaking up, which is like kind of a bummer.
Right.
And so we went to go get breakfast at like our favorite breakfast spot. So we go, we have our breakfast and we're leaving. I go, hey, let's just drive down this major roadway kind of near where he hangs out. It's like, okay, you drive it around. Like I'm farting around on my phone because I'm an FTO. So that's what I do when we're
right
driving around. If I'm not like super paying attention to stuff. And all of a sudden I go, hey, double back into this parking lot. I think I saw him. And he doubles back, and like there's a hole in the fence, and he can look through, and he's like, oh, he goes, that's the guy. I go, okay. I go, keep driving forward. I go, be cool, keep driving forward. Nothing to see here. We're out of sight. Okay, put it in park. All right, you got two options. You can go through that hole in the fence, go past the guy that's between you and him, and spook him, and then he runs, and he's got like 2 feet on you, and he's going to jump a fence. Or we come strolling right up the middle. Like, hey, we're just officer friendly. No big deal, brother. Hey, I recognize you. We had a good time last time. You got a ticket. He goes, okay, yeah, we'll do that one. We'll low key it. I'm like, all right, tight. And I know he didn't take the day and a half to think about what he was going to do. Because as we're walking up, he's like, he's slowing down as I'm maintaining my speed.
Yeah, right.
Like I look back, what the fuck is that? All right, fine. Like, hey, dude, long time no see. How you doing? It's so and so, right? Yeah. It's okay. Hey, come here real quick. I just gotta talk to you real quick. What'd I do? Like you robbed the place. I didn't rob it.
Yeah, I put money down.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, okay, we'll talk about it later, guy. Don't worry about it. And then he had a little bit of dope on him, and so he went for that too.
Like PCS, that one stop generated marijuana.
Oh no, he had like meth.
Okay.
He also had marijuana, but it's California. Nobody cares about that.
Right. That's why I said PCS.
He had it in his sock.
Oh, really?
Like, and it's like he's like this little like ball in his sock. I'm like, I just looked at it and pointed. What's see that?
Bump in his sock. Yeah, bulge.
Like right above his ankle monitor. I go, what's that thing? It's like, oh, it's a marijuana. Marijuana. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't care about that. And the recruit searched him. He found a like folded up dollar bill, and he's found dope and folded up dollar bills before. I go, hey, what do you think that is? He goes, I think it's dope. Opens it up like super careful. Like,
right.
It's dope.
Nice.
Like, oh, okay. Like, good job, little buddy.
Nice.
Let's take him to jail.
I really miss work.
I miss the fun parts.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that I'll miss. All the other crap I don't miss.
Yesterday, John Erickson was in town for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
He had a layover on his way from Alabama to Bahrain in the Middle East. And his layover was in O'Hare. So he had texted me the night before. He said, I'm getting ready to leave for Bahrain. I'm like, yeah, I know. He's like, hey, I'm going to be at O'Hare. I got a 4-hour layover. I'm like, that's 30 minutes from my house. Let's go pick you up. So Kim and I picked him up, and we took him to Portillo's because he had never had a beef from Portillo's.
It's good.
I told him, solid. I sent Brandon a whole thing of Portillo's for his whole shift. And he goes, John said, he ate it all himself, didn't he? He go, you damn right he did.
I shared it with my family. Relax.
Well, yeah, you and your family, not your shift mates. And then we went.
No, fuck these guys. We don't have a kitchen at work.
See, that's what's weird, because our department, which sucks, has a kitchen. And
we had a microwave. Okay. We do have an air fryer, though.
Well, you have part of it. You have a bachelor's kitchen.
Yeah, we have like a kitchenette.
Okay. Well, we took them. We still had hours before, after we ate. So we went. We had to drive through the town where I policed. So we went to the police department and hung out with my buddies. And it was a fucking riot, man. My buddy Dan. Just four of the guys in there that were working the day, and I trained three of them while I was hanging around. And John's just showing off some Patriot missile videos, and because that's what he does. He works for the Patriot missile program. And when he was in the Army, he drove the truck that had the Patriots on it, you know? So he's got video of, like, Tony Stark out in the desert blowing shit up with missiles. So he was showing that stuff, and it was just a bunch of laughing and just fucking – we left the police department, and John goes, I can see why you miss it now. And I'm like, yeah, man, I wish I was working today at the moment. So remember Frank DeSimone, who was on our show? He's the village president.
The mayor. I'm sorry, the village president.
Yeah, well, he actually, we call him mayor, but it is technically it's a village president. He won his reelection in April, but he was trying to change the format of the government to a mayoral government, which then the mayor does more work and you don't have to have a village manager. So anyways, that resolution on the ballot did not pass, but he did re-win, so he's still the president. And we went out to lunch last week, him and the chief and myself, and I actually applied for a part-time job there at the police department, not at the village hall cleaning bathrooms, but actually to be a part-time police officer for the village. So turned my app in, chief got my app, and now just waiting to get well enough after surgery to where I can go to work, I guess.
Do all the things.
Yeah, I tried to get back on my department part-time back in the day. Like 10 years ago, one of my buddies, who's now a village trustee, he retired after 30 years, and then he came back to work part-time. And our department doesn't allow part-time officers. You can do traffic and stuff, and you can back up on calls. You can't take calls that a sworn officer can take, even though you are sworn, because you can't work as a part-time officer unless you're sworn by the state, recognized with full police powers. But because we have a union, you can't just go take a crash or you can't take a domestic violence call. You can, you know.
Hmm.
But all the other departments around the area, if you get on as a part-timer, you get to do all that stuff. So basically they don't have to pay you, obviously, pension and benefits and stuff, but you help handle call volume. So
it's kind of like a Well, for us, we call it like the reserve program.
Yeah, we have reserves so you, and you auxiliaries.
Would be like a reserve.
But okay. Part-timers are actually, they get court dates, they could do traffic, they could take calls, they take crashes, all that. Hmm. Not my department. The other thing was at my department, after this guy did it, the pension board went, wait a minute, you're retired and you're working back there.
But you're still working.
As a police. But at our department, no, it's not the same.
I get where they're coming from.
So they put a kibosh on it. So I can work part-time at any department in the state of Illinois, except the one,
but not that one,
where I want to work. So I even called the pension lawyer, and then he looked into it. And I guess in 2017 is when they actually changed it, so I can't do that over at my department. Because my buddy Jeremy got promoted from sergeant to director of patrol, commander of patrol. And he's like, why don't you come back to work? And I'm like, yeah, man, let's do it. And then we get the pension board involved, and they're like, nope. But I did apply for, you know, in the other town where Frank's the mayor. So, and then I sent Frank a text. I got my application.
Not a bad second.
No, it's not. I know, you know, obviously, I worked under the chief, and my buddy Billy, who retired from our department as a detective, he works there. So it's like Sheila Park West. There's a couple guys from Sheila Park. So I got that in. Waiting to hear. I'm excited. I don't know if I'm stupid or not, Brandon, but I was like, well, you got out. What are you doing? You gonna pull over a car at midnight? I'm like, I'm not gonna work nights. I'm
just
retired.
When I thought I was out, yeah, they pulled me back in.
That's right. I missed the job. So we'll see what happens with that. And then I also applied for my substitute teaching license, which I've been wanting to do since I've got my bachelor's degree back in 2013. But being busy with
work. Have you been around like teenagers today?
Well, at work I was, yeah. I don't know. I can substitute teach at like the
So you're telling me
junior
you're being
high
willfully
level.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Those are the worst.
But look, I could teach a shop class. I could be a substitute in a shop class or gym class or, you know, auto mechanic class, something like that. I don't have to be like a substitute teacher.
It doesn't change the fact that they're all shitheads.
I know.
They're all awful.
Are they all awful?
Yes.
It's a different, I don't know what I want to do, man. I'm telling you, I'm going crazy. Kim's like, you're retired. Do fun stuff. I'm like, fun stuff? Like what?
Build a paper airplane.
I have a job I'm supposed to be working on, which we'll get to when we get to the woodworking portion of the show.
I say, you have Morazzo Woodworking.
Yeah. I know.
Do that.
Yeah.
That was the whole plan.
That was the
retire,
plan.
Do this.
Do you know what sucks, Brandon?
You're deviating from the plan.
And I know you don't really have the same issue because your shop's in your garage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what sucks, Brandon. I'm in my shop right now. It's beautiful outside. I can't see outside. It's fucking dark and dingy down here. And I don't like being in the basement during the day when I can do other things. But right now, physically, I can't do anything. Like, if I was able to, I'd go riding my motorcycle or something today. But I can't because I have limitations because of my back surgery. But I find myself not wanting to be down here during the days anymore. It was easy when I was on nights, overnights, because we would do this and I'd be up all night editing. And then the next night I'd be up down here working on the CNC machine and building shit because I had nothing else to do. But now I've got a whole world of things to do. And woodworking is not one of them that I want to do at the current moment.
So there's going to be naturally administrative tasks that need to be done for any business, correct?
Yeah, there are.
Okay, so follow me here.
Okay.
Follow me here. What if you did your administrative tasks on your computer outside?
I have a screened in patio, so that might work.
And then when you have to do the building side of things, then you go down into the dark, dingy shop and you build things.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And that way you get a little column A, a little column B.
Yeah, I might, because anything I can do on the desktop down here, I can just put on a thumb drive and put it on my laptop and go work outside. So that's a good point. I have a screened-in patio with furniture and high tables. So I didn't look at it that way, so I appreciate that input for sure.
Well, that's why you have me.
That's right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Because to me, that seems like a simple fix.
It is, and I actually downloaded Lightburn on this, you know, my laptop, and then I downloaded Vectric V-Carve on my laptop because mm-hmm. I'm wondering about the, we'll get into it. I won't, if I say it now, I won't get into it on the woodworking portion, but that CNC is all messed up. And I don't know if it's that old computer or if it's the actual something with the motherboard. So if I try to run it with this computer, so yeah, we'll shift gears.
Let's shift gears.
But before we shift gears, I just want to mention, I know it's too many again to say we've been really bad with, I've been really bad with getting behind the mic for this show. So we haven't done a show this year. This is the first one of 2025. And already there are 25 fallen police officers who have given their life in the line of duty. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, holy shit, 8 canines. So if you care to, listener, please visit the Officer Dom Memorial page and read up on these brothers and sisters of law enforcement who lost their lives protecting and serving their communities, because normally we would read all their names each week, and hopefully we'll get back to that point at some point. But please go there, Officer Dom Memorial page, current roll call, and you can see the officers who have passed away. And this is Officer or Law Enforcement Memorial Week is this week that we're recording on this Monday. So please learn these stories of these officers. Yeah, anything else to say on that, Brandon?
I mean, there's a steady rise in, like, we kind of thought everything was over after 21. But there's still, I would say there are more violent attacks. And I'll just say in California, because that's really all I can speak to.
Yeah.
There's been a dramatic rise in attacks on officers. In fact, we recently, just last week, had an officer stabbed. And cop luck being what it is, their brachial artery got nicked.
Fuck.
And thankfully, there's a tourniquet put on it in time. And that unhoused, homeless, vagrant person has been charged with 2 counts of attempted murder of a police officer.
Jesus.
In the last, let's go 3 years, I've had 5 friends shot at or shot in the line of duty.
So, it ain't getting easier, that's for sure.
That's a steep increase from when I started, and it's not getting better. No. So for the people in California, do with that information what you will. Prop 36 was a good start, but it's not enough. You need to continue to put pressure on elected officials. You need to talk to your own city council members. You need to talk to county commissioners, board of supervisors, all that stuff. Because right now, like going out in public, you are rolling the dice. Yeah, because simply put, there are no consequences
right.
for really anything. And criminals know that. And even worse off is the juvenile justice system. There is no repercussions for any juveniles because, you know, we can save them.
Sure you can.
Quote. And these gangs know it. And they get 13, 14, 15-year-olds to do some of the most heinous things that you could think of. And they get juvenile diversion or juvenile probation. And then they get released right back out into the public. Doesn't really matter what they do. In fact, in Valentine's Day, we had a 15-year-old kid murdered by a 13-year-old.
Jeez.
Because he was wearing red.
I should take my hat off if I'm going to roll through your city, apparently.
Well, yeah, it's a pretty big Norteño thing. I don't think they're going to think a gringo like you is a Nort, though. But
that's
there was
good.
Just a small Sereno set that decided to...
Wow.
Over a fight. So super fun, super great.
Yeah.
Just, I would say, be careful when you go out there and then keep putting pressure on elected officials to, I don't know, get laws, get penalties back to where they used to be. I mean, the Prop 36 thing I just referenced was now, like if you have a history of drug convictions, possession of controlled substances back to being a felony. Oh, same thing.
Good.
With theft. So we're getting back to making, we're making a joke, we're making crime illegal again.
Fucking California.
So it's really cool.
Good.
And it's getting used a lot, and it's a step, but it's not going to fix it.
And you have, you in your eighth year now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe eight years in August.
22 more years.
With my current agency.
Yeah. So that's why part of me says, screw that. I don't need to get back involved with that shit. But I think it's that whole, it'll be a year later this month. So June 21st is year of the retirement, but I was on vacation from June 1st. So, yeah. Or May 1st.
Well, I'll say when I left the military, that first year was rough. Financially, mentally, that first year was hell for a number of reasons, but it's a total identity shift. Because for so long, right, I'm the military guy, I'm in the Air Force, I do this, I do that, I do the other thing. And then one day you're not.
Right.
And it's not like a slow ramp down. You're just not.
Yeah. You hit a wall, like stop that fast. This day you're not.
So I don't know. It's that first year is hard, but it gets better. It gives you some time to kind of figure out what the next step is for you. And for me, it was law enforcement. But yeah, that first year, and I've heard guys talk about it, that after retirement, that first year sucks.
I even applied for, there's a organization that's based in Vegas, but they're nationwide, and it's to support law enforcement officers who have suffered violent attacks and, you know, have PTSD and stuff like that. They are looking for volunteers, obviously, to help. It's a peer group situation. So I actually applied to them. And part of the application is you have to be willing to travel to Vegas for training. And I'm like, I got nothing going on. Literally. I'm busy going back and forth.
You want me to go to Vegas?
Yeah, I know. Right? What? So going back and forth wouldn't be a problem, obviously. So I thought, if I don't get back in a squad car, then that would be a thing for me to be able to give back to brothers and sisters of law enforcement, which I actually obviously miss that part of it, right? So if I can give back that way and help out that way, that's an avenue. So I applied. I sent an email, a follow-up email. They're like, we got it. I'm like, okay, I guess you must have millions of people trying to volunteer. What are you looking for?
Time to process.
Yeah. So whatever. So that's when you start going, okay, well, that's maybe that'll come at some point. And they'll go, hey, you know, let's talk. And I'm like, at that point, okay, fine. But what if I'm doing something else by that? So I'm just trying to fill time. Obviously, the last 18 months with Uncle Harold's passing and all this other bullshit that was going on, that took up most of my time. It's ramping down now, right? So now it's really becoming obvious that I don't have a job. And not just any job, the job I loved for my whole life. So that's the difficult adjustment part. So, and then I read these names on this list and I go, you're a fucking idiot. You got out 25 years. Just please walk away and enjoy your life. And thank God my wife's like, you're fucking retired. What are you doing? Go have fun. Do something. God bless her. And I'm like, it's not that easy, but it can be. Some people just shut it off and move on, but whatever. So
you should take a week and go to every single Sox game.
I don't have that kind of money. Oh, you know,
I'm pretty sure you could find some pretty cheap White Sox tickets.
Speaking of the
just
Sox,
get in the stadium.
Yeah, no, we went to opening day, of course. And it's great that the new Pope is a Sox fan. I mean, so that's awesome. So
yeah, maybe Chicago now produced a Pope before a 4,000-yard passer.
Right? How about that?
That's my favorite meme that I've seen.
Oh, did you see the one of him dipping the beef in the And the Aju? You haven't seen that one? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, I saw that one.
So, yeah, maybe now that we've got some divine intervention, the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl this year. The Pope said it true. So,
or whatever the opposite of that is.
How's your... Well, okay, let's transfer over to... Let's swing on over to our other woodworking stuff that we like to do. And let's do this. And... Let's do it. Just going to do it. There. Transition. Transition button.
Okay. You click the transition button?
Yeah. Did you hear it?
Is it? No.
You
Are
didn't
you
hear
Michelle
it?
Now?
Oh, here.
No, I didn't hear anything.
There we go.
Okay. There it is.
All right. On to woodworking. Excellent.
The best segue I've ever seen.
Hey, since I don't have a lot of woodworking stuff going on, I guess I'll go first.
Okay, fine. I don't have much woodworking stuff going on either.
Well, we can also put in some other stuff that we've been doing that's not woodworking based. You know, we talked in the pre-show about what we've been up to, and I mentioned that I had back surgery. And
that's why people have to listen to the pre-show, Mike. If you covered the stuff in the pre-show and the main show, there's no point of the pre-show.
The thing I'm going
to
mention, we didn't cover in the pre-show, so they have to go back and listen.
Okay, well, why don't you go over why your CNC is pissing you off?
Well, I just want to tell you that one horrifying thing that happened that really changed my wife's life. It's got nothing to do with woodworking, unfortunately. So we have... Oh,
I can't proceed.
So while I was away last May down in Alabama, Kim decided to foster a pit bull. So he's great. His name's Rennie. So he had been in the foster home for 2 years, and he's so friendly, loves people. Doesn't like other dogs, but he loves people, kids, everything. We've had our 4-year-old nephews over here, the twin boys playing with them, and he's absolutely fantastic. So anyways, we have a cable in our backyard because we don't have a fence. I got an asshole neighbor behind me who has a fucking 80-pound Labrador chocolate lab who pulls his 220-pound son down the fucking street at full speed. You can hear the dog.
That's a boy.
Yeah, He has a name, but I don't use because I use Chocolate Thunder as the name of the fucking dog, okay? Pulls every fucking person in the house down the street on a leash. And I'm not kidding. We had our dog out on a leash across the street, and Chocolate Thunder was pulling that 6'2", 225-pound teenager down the street until he fell on his face in a driveway right next to my house. And we thought, oh, shit, he's going to let go of the dog, and we're going to have an issue. Luckily, he didn't let go of the dog. So I had surgery 4 weeks ago. The very next day, Kim's working from home that whole week because I've had surgery and I can't do much. She puts the dog out on the cable in the backyard. And assholes have a half a fence that just blocks their view of us. So that's not really, they don't have an enclosed yard, just a fence. And then the neighbors to the right of me, they actually enclose their yard with a beautiful fence. So those two fences come together minus 30 inches, maybe. There's a 30-inch opening.
Okay.
Now, I don't let the dog out on its own on the cable, Brandon. Never have. But anyways, Kim puts the dog on the cable, and she's typing away. And I hear this blood-curdling scream like I've never heard before in my life. Now, we have a grade school right behind our house as well. And I think, holy shit, some animal is mauling a kid. So... I can't move. It takes me like 30 seconds to get up out of the chair I was sitting in. And as I start waddling out to the back of the house, Kim bolts out the door, and now the screaming is worse. And I'm like, what the f*** is going on? I go outside. I walk around the corner because it's behind our screened-in porch. And here's Kim, the dog, our dog, ran to that opening in the fence. He's on a cable. Fucking woman who owns the dog takes out Chocolate Thunder, who decides, I'm going to go over to the fence because I weigh 90 pounds and no one can control me. So he comes over to the fence and sticks his head in my yard where Rennie fucking bites him. And I got a pit bull with chomped down on this dog's head. The dog's trying to bite Rennie, but his face is on the side of Rennie's face, his mouth. Kim is on Rennie underneath him. Like pulling them, and she's yelling at the woman, pull your dog away because we're trying to break the dogs. Kim bites Rennie on the back of his neck like a parent dog does to get him to break. Doesn't break. Kim's pounding him in the head. I walk around the corner. The woman looks at me. I can see her. And I'm like, I'm out. I just had back surgery. I can't fucking help in any way, which was horrible. That's the worst feeling you can ever have. So I'm like, I did hear if you splash water on the dogs to break them up, whatever. I waddle into the house. I get a pot of water. I waddle
back
out.
I thought you were going to stick a finger in his ass.
No. But good one.
I've heard that works too.
I've seen it on YouTube. I get this pot of water and I go to throw it on the dogs and I throw it on Kim. I missed the dogs. I can't reach. I can't bend over. I can't, you know what I mean? So Kim gets soaking wet. She's punching the fucking dog in the head. Finally, he breaks free and the woman and Kim yanks him away from the fence. And now the woman pulls her dog away. We get the dog separated. We come in the house. It took everything in Kim's power to get this dog into the house because I can't help. So she's really fighting to get him away from the fence. We get him in the house, and I'm like, call the police. Let's call the police right now. We got to call the police. So I call the police, and we go outside, and the woman shows up at our door, and she's like, she says to Kim, are you okay? And Kim says, yes, I'm okay. Are you okay? And she's like, I'm okay. And we haven't really spoken to that woman. We've been here 9 years. The fucking husband's an asshole. The wife's, we don't talk to them. She's like, I got to bring my dog to the hospital. He's got puncture wounds on his head and stuff. I said, all right, well, I called the police. So the police department sends a community service officer over, animal control. Now, for those of you listening that don't know, they're not sworn police officers. This is the thing I was saying about working for a department when you're not a sworn officer. They just send a guy who doesn't carry a gun over to write maybe animal tickets. I don't really fucking know, but he comes over. We tell him what happened. I say, I need a report. She comes over, the neighbor, and he goes with her to her house to look at her dog. So then he comes back, and I'm like, can you give me the report number? And he's like, yeah. And he says, maybe you can help. Now, she's with. Maybe you can help with the vet bills. And I go, well, wait a minute. And he's like, well, she's not going to press charges. And I go, press charges? This is not a criminal matter. This is a civil matter. She can't press charges. Her dog.
What charges would she press?
Right. Her dog stuck its head in my yard. My dog's in his yard on a fucking cable. That dog came in my yard. Well, the guy had no idea what he was talking about because he was a CSO. I said, we'll deal with her. So just give me the report number. So he gives me the report number and he leaves. She's like, I got to go pick up my son and I got to bring the dog to the vet. I go, go ahead. So, mind you, this is the second day after the next day after surgery, so I can barely move. I have to go out for these walks I was telling you about. So later in the evening, Kim is fucked up. Kim grew up in a perfect family in a house with no trauma ever. She's never seen trauma. She doesn't know what trauma is. She's so fucked up.
She doesn't have any good stories, does she?
No. And right now, she can't step outside without fucking freaking out if a dog comes by. We can't walk the dog because she's afraid it's going to get attacked. We can't put the dog in the yard because we don't have a fence, which I got coming and it's costing me $8,000 because I got to put a fucking fence up now. So as we go to walk out from my half a mile walk, here's the husband at my door. And I go, he's holding a piece of paper in his hand. And I'm like, what's that? Is that the vet bill? And he's like, yeah. And I go, well, is this my copy? And he goes, yeah. And I go, I ain't paying your vet bill. What do you mean? Your fucking dog stuck his head in my yard. My dog was in his yard on a leash. I'm not responsible. I said, I'll pay half. And I don't even have to pay you half. Well, we're not pressing charges. I go, let's get to that. Because you're talking to a cop. What charge would you be charging me with? This is not a criminal matter. This is a civil matter. I don't know how many times I have to tell you fucking people. I was pissed. So he's like, oh. And he just storms away because he knows he's wrong. So Kim called the shelter where we are now fostering this dog forever. They took him down from the website. He's our dog until he dies. But the shelter pays for medical and food and all that stuff. So they have to call and tell. She had to call and tell them what happened. So they paid half of our half. So we ended up paying a quarter, which was $300 that we had to pay these fucking people for their dog sticking his head in my yard. But that was one of the... So now Kim, every time we go out, our neighbor across the street has a fence. They're great. She's like, just bring him here. He can go to the bathroom in our yard. It's a fenced yard. But as we have to cross the street, I walk out. I look left and right. I swear to God, I wave her out. She comes out. She's looking left and right. We run across the street, get into the backyard. He goes to the business. When we come back, I got to go out in front of her, look left and right, wave her out to the street. She runs back across the street and puts the dog in the house. She's got PTSD from this fucking event. So I have no woodworking stuff, except I made a nice sign for police department, Morton Grove. One of their officers died from cancer, and I was able to finish that sign down in Alabama.
Oh, that's sad.
And it's the department I did the 5-foot flag for, and then their secretary hired me to do the.
Oh yeah, yeah. She had you do like the whole.
I did
island.
Yeah, I did the island, and then some other stuff
for the island adventure.
Yeah, and now I'm doing built-in bookshelves for her when I'm healthy. But the sign is great. If someone wants to see it, it's on my Instagram page. They had an officer who died from cancer, and they wanted something to remember him by. And it took me 6 months, right? Because I had to design all the stuff, and then he had four badges. He had a detective badge, sergeant badge, patrol badge, and honor guard badge, and they wanted all four badges on it. And then his saying, what he would tell everyone at the police department when they found out that he got – you know, diagnosed with cancer. He had a certain saying that he would tell the guys, and it's keep fighting the good fight, never give up, and remember to smile every day. And they wanted that to be on there with his signature. So it took me months to design it and find the right badge to create the badges with the help of my daughter, who, you know, does graphic design stuff. And then I had glued three maple panels together for the sign, started engraving it. That's when the machine went fucking ape shit and engraved everything off to the right. So I had to redo it down at John's house, John Erickson, Odark 30. We did it down by him. And then I brought it back home. And I finally brought it to the police department last month. And I felt so bad that it took so long that he's like, well, give me the invoice and, you know, the village will pay you. And I'm like, you are not paying for this fucking sign. There's no way. I felt so bad that it took 6 months. I gave it to the police department because what kind of dick would that be? Oh, yeah, you still owe me $500. It took 6 months. But so I just ended up giving that to the department. And now they hung it up where everyone police officer that walks by gets to see him. And everyone in the building that knew the officer, when I brought it there, he called everyone out, secretaries, dispatch, police officers. And we opened it in front of everybody. And it was really... it was really heartwarming, and you want to make things that people appreciate. And, you know, that's why we do these things that we do. And you and I are fortunate enough to work in a field that not many people can do or even get into. So when you get to make a piece.
I don't know, nowadays.
Oh, yeah, the way it used to be. But when you can make a piece for someone like that, it holds a little bit more meaning to me. And that's the last thing that I created. And I have things still waiting to be engraved, but I just can't do it. So.
Well, none of mine are like that cool.
I haven't.
No,
even,
I made a.
You've been busy, so.
I made a family sign for us.
Oh, for your family? Your family.
So, yeah. Like, I make stuff for other people. I haven't had a chance to really do anything. Like, we still don't have a flag.
I don't have a flag either. Right. Me neither. That's awesome.
But I saw something on Pinterest, and it was three boards and like the thin blue line. And then it said like the, and then your family's last name and then established when.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Like, that's cool. So I cut out the text on the laser and put that together. And it looks cool. I like it.
I'd love, did you post it on your,
I know I posted it to a story. I don't know if I actually made a post with it, but I'll probably do that today.
Can you say, yeah, I'd like to see it.
And then there's a lot of stuff that like I want to make, but at the same time, like there's no orders for it. But if I don't just build it,
then you're going to have it.
How do I market it?
Yeah.
And it's one of those weird things of like, I kind of want to make it. And I think that's going to have to be where I get to, is just like, screw it. I'm going to make it. I'm not going to make any money.
Well, no, not necessarily.
But I'm just going to have it. Like, at least not on the front end, right? It's not going to be something that's paid for.
Right. It'll be inventory that you have to put money out front for.
Yeah. And I'm a little bit more okay with that now, just because. So another thing that's happened is, I've always had, or at least since I got out of the military, I've had ringing in my ears, tinnitus.
I have that.
I never really knew what that was.
Okay.
Or really what caused it or anything like that. I just kind of deal with it. And it drives Annie crazy because I could never sit in just silence because the silence is deafening.
Right. Yeah.
That's when it's at its worst. So I finally went through the VA and I'm disabled now.
Oh, okay.
So I got a rating from the VA and good. I get like $175 a month of like pain and suffering.
Good.
that they'll give me. So I basically that's whenever we need it, right? It obviously stays in the main account.
Right.
But for the most part, I've been putting it into a Full House.
Okay.
With the ultimate goal of saving up for a next wave CNC.
Okay.
Because I got to meet those guys at WorkbenchCon, and they're awesome. And I spoke with the owner. I think we were down in the bar for like 5-6 hours, it felt like.
It was so hard.
Awesome. No, not that it felt like that. Like it was a damn long time.
No, it was really hard for me not to go.
You really didn't miss much.
I missed seeing you, which is a big thing to me, and you know some of the other people, but you in particular.
That was kind of the running theme of WorkbenchCon this year was that it had a different feel to it. It was much smaller, much more intimate, and everyone kind of saw the writing on the wall.
I'm still waiting to get my money back.
Before the announcement, you're not going to get it back.
She said I was gonna.
She's not going to give you your money back while they reimagine what WorkbenchCon is going to be.
Yeah, well, she said
it's dead.
I can put it towards any future endeavor. And I said, I might not be alive next year, so I'd like my refund. So she's like, okay.
Yeah, I don't.
We'll see if they send it.
My guess is that they probably don't have the cash on hand to do that.
Yeah, from what John said, he had heard that some of the vendors weren't even getting paid. Or not the vendors, but the speakers.
They hadn't been paid from the previous year, what I had heard.
So.
And I like that's strictly speculation. I don't know for certain. I don't know any of the speakers from last year or this year that where I have a personal relationship with to where I could tell you whether or not. But I do know that that was something that was I heard more than once from people who would know.
So I guess I'm out $600.
Yeah, you're out. It did feel it felt like a swan song, but it was what I really liked is there weren't like you remember last year, like John Malecki was there, Bourbon Moth.
Yeah, yeah, all those guys,
all these big wigs, right? Yeah. The mega accounts,
right?
They weren't there this year. Like Brad Rodriguez, like he came in for a day or something like that, and then bounced.
Jason was there, right? Bent.
Hibbs?
Oh, Jason.
I think he was. Jason was there, I think he was there. But it seemed like
dwindled.
You were more able as a smaller account to be able to get that FaceTime with a company like Next Wave.
Yeah,
like last
cool.
year I wouldn't have gotten any FaceTime with anybody, let alone the freaking owner. Which was really cool. So it's something like just talking with those guys, it's a company that I'd like to work with and a company that I'd like to support.
Am I wrong? But thinking that that's the CNC that Scott Wiener has? Does he have a Next Wave? Which one were you looking at?
I think it was the 24x24.
Okay.
Bed. Although I want to just get bigger. And that's kind of what I was telling myself on the flight back was that, hey, do not settle because that's what I did with the lasers. And now I'm on my third iteration of a laser.
I still need
if you want one of my,
you know what
lasers,
I would like to do with you is
make you a good deal
FaceTime. Cause I have Dave's laser here on a huge bed and I bought all the upgraded vent system and air assist and everything else. And a upgraded cutting head. I just need to fucking put it together and I need some help.
Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, I think sometime I'll be opening up. Maybe we can FaceTime
hard
one day. And you could tell me, push that button and do that.
Just push the button.
So that's great that you're going to get
I'll just send you one of my Lightbird files. It's something I want to do. It's nowhere on the horizon. The machine I want with everything, like all the accessories and everything. I went and priced everything out.
It just says Brandon's not being recorded.
Oh. It's because my computer has very limited space. So hold on. I got to click something and just free up space.
because I want to hear about your CNC.
God knows how long it'll take.
My neck's killing me.
Let's trash that.
You just shutting windows?
I guess. I didn't know I had a bunch of windows open. I'm actually pretty good about that. Disney Plus, go away. I don't know what the fuck that is. So that can go. That can go. I have no clue what the hell. Let me know if you get anything that says like, oh, cool, we're good.
I'm looking. It says you're 75% uploaded right now.
Okay.
So maybe they're at a little break. So when we stop, just don't shut your computer off.
No, I'd never do.
Okay. Maybe it'll...
Because it says to leave it open.
Yeah.
That website, I'm just like...
I don't see a little recording.
There's some things that I still see a recording icon.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, I have it on audio, so obviously we're still recording audio, so that's fine.
Yeah.
On all my right. end, on the Let's machine. My head's killing me. I think I'm all stressed out. All back
yeah,
here.
Probably. Okay. Does this give you any sort of update or anything?
Nothing's flashed, and it's continuously uploading your recording. And there's a little recording button next to my picture of my icon, but none next to yours.
Oh, yeah. I don't see it on mine.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, Brandon's got old technology and not a lot of space, and I don't have an external hard drive to put shit on. So I'm sorry, folks.
Well, for the people listening and not
my beautiful face
and not watching,
you can still hear my sultry tones.
That's right. Listening when you were looking at these systems, you said you were on the plane coming back.
Yeah. I told myself like, hey, don't settle. Like get the one you want, buy once, cry once. Don't do the whole like, oh, I'm going to get a small one and then like outgrow it in 3 days.
Right.
Cause that's what happened with my first laser. I'm like, I need more. And then I got to the Laser Master 3. I'm like, I need more.
Laser Master 3.
Well, that's what they call it. I'll name the damn thing.
How big is your laser?
But I got
you need bigger now.
It's not so much I need bigger with the laser. And the nice thing with the X tool is if I really need, I can get their conveyor system.
Oh,
and
okay.
That will let me do things up. Like it that'll be
that's cool.
More than what I'll ever need.
Okay.
But some of the things I want to do involve carving, and like, let's be honest, the carvings bring in a higher dollar value
sure.
than say like a 3D, like stacked text sign.
Yeah.
Like that's just the way it is. Like I could do like the signs I do, I engrave or the badges I do, I'll engrave a badge and it's great. And I can sell it for like $80. I do that same badge out of a hardwood.
Yeah.
And it's engraved via a CNC.
Right.
And it's going for three times that minimum.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, just like a dollars and cents sort of deal. I have to. Not that I have to. It's something I want
you
to.
You would like
it,
to.
It will take me where I want to go with it.
Right.
But it's an expensive machine. And granted, I probably won't need anything beyond that 2 foot by 2 foot. But if... Right. And Annie and I always throw around what if you know, at what point do we get to the point where you need to walk away from this? Because we've talked about all the critical incidents that I've been to or been in or, you know, I mean, hell, the one I just had.
Right.
They take a toll. I mean, I'm not immune to it. I'm not going to lie. That one from a couple of weeks ago still bothers me because I constantly am re-breaking it down just because of who I am and the way that my brain works of like, should I have shot? Should I have not shot? Was it right to not shoot? Was it, you know,
right,
when this guy gets out, because it's California, he's going to get out again. He's not, this is not a life case. Did I just make somebody else's life harder or more in jeopardy because I didn't make the decision to use deadly force and potentially end him?
Right. And you're going to keep playing.
And it's
that
one
over.
Of those things of, yeah. And it's, I mean, it's one of those things, like I've had near shootings before where you break it down and you go back over it and you think about it and you're like, ah, should I have, could I have? And, no, it's just one of those things. It just kind of has stuck with me, and not necessarily like I'm not losing sleep over it or anything, but it is something where, you know, I'll have moments where it's like, did I make the right call, or did I make the right call putting my recruit in that situation? So it's, I mean, all of these things, they, you know, it's just, it's right. More, we always talk about like the backpack, right? You keep putting rocks in it. I'm not saying my backpack is anywhere close to being full, but you do start to wonder, like, how full do you let it get before it becomes a problem?
Yeah.
And then I'm learning that, you know, I'll toot my own horn here. I do really well with like sexual assault victims. One of the worst cases that's ever screwed me up was a sexual assault. So like, do I really lean into what I'm know I'm good at and go down that route? Or do I go towards something else? I'm like, I know I'm also decent. I'm never going to say I'm like really good at the tactical side of things. Well, I'm also pushing 40. So it's a weird spot that I'm in, but we've also talked about like, hey, do we take full house full time and leave California? Because if I leave my job, we can't afford the house.
Right.
And it's not like that's the whole reason that I'm still a police officer. I still love the job. I still love doing what I'm doing. I still believe in what I'm doing, but it's a natural conversation to have.
Of course.
Like, do we move to like right. Amarillo, Texas, for example, where we could take the profits of selling the current house that we're in and almost pay for an entire property.
Right.
Like a full house, I would have like every kid would have their own room, and we have like 2 acres,
right,
with a shop on it. Like, that's one of those things where you just go, well, I mean, granted, it's Amarillo, Texas, so you're in West Texas.
But you don't just have to pick that point. I mean, you can go.
No, I'm using Amarillo as an example because right. That's where I've looked.
But I had Frank's wife when I was helping him at his campaign office. I went to walk and knock on doors, you know, a couple Saturdays in a row. And she said, why are you guys moving to Alabama when Kim retires? And I told her, cost of living, right? We can live more comfortably down there. Taxes, there's no state income tax for pensions. There's no state income tax for 401ks. There's no state income tax for Social Security, which now, since they passed the law, I get all my Social Security. All these things make a difference. And my property taxes on 5 acres at the moment is like $1,800. I go, why am I going to pay $10,000 a year in property taxes to live in Illinois? And she goes, well, aren't your friends worth it? And I said, no, unfortunately, no. Why would I want to pay $10,000 or more to live in this fucking state when we can go and live more comfortably?
And here's a hard truth that I don't think a lot of people are going to want to hear. So one of the big reasons why we moved back to California was we missed our friends and family. We thought, hey, when we move back,
you'll see everyone's
going
to want
to see us.
Yeah, no.
Everyone's going to want to see us. Mm. Well, what we didn't account for was life went on.
Right.
Life continued while we were gone. And we lived in Clovis, which is just outside of Fresno. Annie's family is from Madera. She has tons of friends in Fresno. My family grew up in Merced County. Friends and family are all in Merced. You want to know how many times people that lived in those areas that we hadn't seen for 6 years actually came over to visit us? I can count them on my fingers.
Yeah. I can count them on my two fingers, but yeah.
I don't have the actual count.
I'm
but
sure.
I like there's some family members I can tell you exactly how many times because it was zero.
Right.
So it's one of those things of like, okay, cool. We moved back. We put, you know, in that first year, like we put ourselves through hell. Like we were to the point where we were going to pick and choose like, hey, do we keep the lights on or do we feed ourselves? And that was when I got my job offer in Monterey, which is really cool. Like I'll have to have Annie tell the story sometime because it's a really cool, I call it proof that God exists. But I guess more formal religious people would call it a testimony, but it's a really cool moment that happened twice before she came back to Christianity. So that it was like one of those things of, okay, cool. Well, I don't care if we stay here. So then we moved to Marina. We figured, hey, we live on the Monterey Peninsula. This is paradise, like legitimately paradise. Our moms would come visit us occasionally. Not really anybody else.
Right. And I've seen.
So then it was, okay, cool. Like we moved to San Jose. Hey, we got an apartment. We had a baby. And still very limited in the number of people that would come see us. But I get it. We were in a 2-bedroom apartment. Not a lot of space there. Well, then we moved to where we are now and have a 5-bedroom house and like plenty of space. And
nothing's changed as far as visitation.
And we're still expected to drive hour and a half to 2.5 hours to see people with 3 kids. Right. And it's one of those things of like, you know what? I don't care anymore. If we move to Texas, that's the right move for our family. Then that's what we're going to do. I don't think we would ever do it. At least not while both of our moms are still alive. Just because I don't think we would be okay with being that far away when that happens. So it's just one of those things of like, that's not a factor for us anymore. Yeah. And it'll be whatever's best for us. And like my kids don't want to move. So they all get the same speech of like, I get it. You don't want to move. I wouldn't want to move either when I was a kid. But if it's the right move for us, then it's the right move for us.
I said to Lisa, I'm like, I live near you guys now. How often do I see you? Frank and I retired at the same time. We're trying to get together for lunch like every 2 months. I mean, I can drive up here from Alabama. My kids will still be here. Stay with them and visit friends for a week or two. And I'll see them the same amount of time every year. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So I might as well just move where we want to move.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I mean, for me, a big part of why we would leave California is I more and more am feeling like California is not just anti my personal value system, but it's now attacking my personal value system. For example, I'll give you a perfect example. And I know we don't talk politics very often, but this, so there's a particular bill, it's called AB 84.
Okay.
That just made it through the Education Committee with only one dissenting vote. What this does is it's going to try to slash the charter school budget by 30%. So I know what everyone's thinking. Brandon, why do you care? What does that matter? Well, right now, since 2020, more and more people have started homeschooling. And some of those, like myself and my wife, we go through a charter school that we have somebody, they're called an education specialist.
Okay.
It's a teacher.
Sure.
It's an advisor, right? That we meet with every so often. I think it's like once a month. I forget the actual time frame. We upload work samples. We give them to them. We go over, hey, where are the kids struggling? Where can we help? What can we do this? In exchange for that, we participate in state testing and all that stuff. And we also get state funds to pay for curriculum and stuff like that. The only caveat is you can't use like religious-based curriculums because it's from the state. And you know, we got to keep church and state separated, which I get. Don't necessarily agree with, but I get. And that was kind of the trade-off. Well, now they want to slash that budget by 30% because they think the current federal administration is going to pass a bill or something to make school choice a thing where dollars are going to be tied to the kid and not necessarily the district. So California is trying to get ahead of that to make sure that the public school system here gets all the money it can, and it forces these homeschool kids who are going through a charter school back into public schools, which have failed kids time and time again. Now, I know a lot of teachers. I know a lot of teachers that personally that listen to this show. I'm not saying that you suck at your job. I'm saying the public school system sucks, and that you spend, the public school system spends 60% of its budget on administrators. That's not normal. That's wrong. Mm. You should probably invest more of it in teachers and training aids and getting classroom sizes smaller. So yeah, when that happens, we're already like, it's one of those things. The, if the state's going to come after me, like, okay,
right,
just get ready for a fight, because this is the hill I'm willing to die on. So like, we're already like, Caleb's getting ready to start this other homeschool program called Classical Conversations. That's like nationwide. It's more faith-based. The only thing is I don't get the educational funds.
Right.
And it's not expensive. So this current recruit is going to pay for that.
Good.
Freaking 70 hours of overtime in a month.
Wow. Better you than
me. Yeah. Yeah. So a long-winded way of saying, I really want a CNC, so that way if we ever decided to go full-time,
yeah,
with this, then it's at least better set up. And if I have it all paid off for it, and
oh yeah,
on the front end, it gives me more of a chance to succeed in a business sense, because now I don't have like, hey, you have a $288 payment on this CNC machine that if you don't make, it's going to bankrupt your business.
Yeah.
So like, I would rather, like, honestly, if we did that with, because we financed the laser and we did it through our own personal stuff. So if our business was dependent on making that payment, business would have been bankrupt in 6 months.
Sure.
So,
but you don't actually have the time right now because of work and all the overtime. It's hard to work full time in full house when you're working full time in a police department, full time plus. It's like you have another job, full-time plus like another part-time job because of all the hours you're putting in while you're training someone. So in order to concentrate more on full house, you'd have to not be training so much. You know what I mean? It's
a give and take. Right. And to get anywhere in my current agency, like, you have to come in on a day off, not volunteer, you get paid overtime. But you're sacrificing time off.
Right.
To go work in whatever like investigation unit you want to get into.
Right.
And if you don't do that, you stand next to no chance in being
picked,
like in scoring well in your testing. Like it's just the way that this place is, that my current agency has always been. But man, it's frustrating because I can't go do the work I want to do because I'm training somebody and I really enjoy the training of somebody, but now it's hindering the advancement of my career. Yeah. And if I want to go do that, now I have to sacrifice time with my kids. So in all honesty, probably within the next month, like Mondays, I'm going to have to go and work in some unit so that I stand a chance of getting in there. But it's not even a guarantee that you get in there.
Right. It puts you in a better position, but doesn't open the door.
Yeah. It's like, that's what gives you the chance versus, I mean, unless you can memorize a crap ton of stuff and can recall it on command, I ain't that guy.
Do you know how to do that? I have tricks.
I'm not good at that. I've never been good at oral board test taking.
Yeah. You record it all. An audio file.
And you listen to it?
Fucking yeah, A. You got to drive to work, right? You got to drive to work. You got to drive home. You got to drive. Yeah. And it doesn't work for you?
Tried it. Okay. Doesn't work for me. It's an interpersonal thing where you just go back and forth. But if you're looking for verbatim stuff, it's not me. I have to have a practical understanding practical understanding of the application of the information for me to be able to articulate it.
Yeah.
And just reading it out of a legal source book is one, it puts me to sleep.
Yeah. Right.
and two, I just, for whatever reason, the recall is not there. That's something that I've always had issues with, but I always joke like, but I've been able to fake it this part.
Getting pretty good so far.
Yeah. I'm getting pretty good at it. But that's the frustrating thing. Cause then it's also when it's time away from my kids.
Right.
It's time away from the family. It's more time at work, It's also time away from this. It's time away from Full House. It's right. time away from coaching. It's time away from everything else. And my 3 days off turned into 2 days off real quick.
Right.
So it's, yeah. it's just, it's not conducive to what I want to do. And when I'm at work, it's like those 4 days I'm at work, I am all in. And if it's coming in early, staying late, whatever, it is what it is. That's my job.
Right.
When it's my days off, fuck off. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. People used to get mad at me because I put my phone on silent when I go to bed when I was working and you can't call me in. I'm fucking off. Don't fucking call me. Well, it's not fair. I'm like, listen, I've done enough in my department for so long, all the shit I've done. Now I've earned the last few years to shut my fucking phone off at night and not be bothered. Yeah, I'm off. This is my personal time. Don't bother me. So, but when I'm there, fuck yeah. Especially on all those teams I was on. You're working 30 hours on a homicide. Straight. That's the shit I gave for my life, for my family, that my family missed me on. It was my turn at the end of my career to not do that. But it sucks when you have to sacrifice that.
Yeah, and I'll tell new guys this all the time. It's like, oh man, that guy's lazy as hell. I'm like, dude, that guy's like 5 minutes away from retirement. He's earned the right to be a little lazy on this one.
Right.
Like, yeah. If he's not turning and burning, I don't blame him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
So, but yeah, I made a sign, family sign, and then
I can't wait to see it.
I saw these little freaking little doodads that you put on your wall, and mm-hmm. it's just a square, and I laser cut out like little animal silhouettes.
Okay.
And I thought those were cool.
That's cool. You see what my daughter did? She made these light boxes that are black light LEDs inside of a framed glass with an infinity mirror, and she designed with the colored markers and shit in there. I'm like, Morgan, you should be selling these. You know, she's like, how would I sell them? I'm like, give them to me. I will sell them for you on Etsy or, you know, eBay or something. But
yeah,
there's a antique mall that opened by me last year. It's huge, huge like warehouse. And Kim and I went in, we walked around for an hour and didn't see like a quarter of the store. But the part I did see is they have all these glass cabinets. So you mm-hmm. or me can rent one of those glass cabinets that's got a number of shelves and stuff in there. And I'd be able to put cutting boards and flags and stuff in there. And Morgan can put her stuff in there and you pay a monthly fee or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like consignment.
Yeah, it's a consignment shop. And you get your own case. So I talked to her about doing something like that with me. The problem is I have to get in the shop and start doing shit. And I have to want to do it. So I'm getting there. I'm in here today. I feel good being down here. So maybe the next time I walk over to the machine and look at it and turn it on and see if something works. Maybe that'll happen next week. I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? Until then. Yeah, stay tuned. Until then, if you have any ideas, don't ask me to make you anything because I ain't making shit right now. Ask Brandon.
Did our new number one fan send us a question?
Oh, no, he didn't. But if he's listening, he can send us a question.
I actually had a question that I forgot to ask.
Oh, okay.
So somebody asked, I don't remember who, I can't even pull it up, but I remember the question.
Okay, what is it?
When police cars are, you call it car spooning.
Right, car spooning.
I just call it going door to door.
Okay.
When you're window to window, right?
Okay.
They always ask, what is
the deal
going on? Yeah. And why do cops do that?
Yeah.
So, Mike, would you like to answer this question?
I can tell you.
Or give your answer, and then yes. I'll tell you mine?
Yes. A number of reasons why we do it. One, we're in a car for 12 hours a day, right? So if you don't see your friends on lunch, you see them at the roll call, and then you're on the street. Occasionally, you'll back everybody up on calls and stuff, so you get to see everybody. But on a 12-hour shift, especially when I was on overnights, if it's not Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, generally speaking, we were slow. So you can do your traffic and everything else to try and make yourself get busy. But at some point, you're going to get bored. I don't care. And you can't drive around in a small town, which is 2 miles square. If you drive 80 miles, you're going to go blind. You're just driving way too much. And that's patrolling all of our business districts and neighborhoods and stuff like that. So I want to see what my buddy's up to. I haven't seen him in a couple of days. We've been off with our families. Car spoon. Hey, what's going on? Or what we used to like to do is get 3 or 4 cars lined up and Netflix shit at the same time. Everyone watch a movie at the same time. I'm just being honest. That's what we love doing. How about you?
So it's pretty much the same thing. We'll pull up and like, So if you think about it, you're both facing, you know, one direction.
Right.
I have to talk through the car.
Oh, that sucks.
To my buddy.
Right. You can't do that. It sucks.
I don't want to shout. So you come up window to window and you can just sit there and have a conversation.
Sometimes even
in
hit
a
mirrors.
Normal tone.
Right.
That's usually like kind of the goal of like you try
how
to hit mirrors in whichever mirror folds is the loser.
Right. Exactly. I'm so glad to see that this goes on nationwide.
And sometimes we would do like, hey, guess what? What? And then they're mirror folding. You owe me coffee.
That's it. I found this name. Mark Lowendorf. I forwarded you the emails that he had sent to us, to me, because it was to us.
Okay.
It was to the podcast. So, but yeah, Mark Lowendorf, he's the one that had asked us. He binged all our episodes, waiting for a new episode. So, Mark, if you have any questions for us, just send it to the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast at gmail.com, and we will read your question on the air. Or you can do an audio version, record it, and send it. And
people did that.
David Franklin.
When I say people did that, I mean David did that.
David Franklin, 516 Woodworks, he was our number one fan. I don't know where he is now. Hopefully he's still patrolling the streets out there, doing a great job. But yeah, you can send it in an audio version. We'll play that on the air as well. So Brandon's got some stuff coming up. We were looking. Well, you said you might be going into investigations on Mondays. Like,
oh yeah, I don't.
The 19th we can't record because you have something on the 19th.
Yeah, I'll be in training all day.
Yeah, training. So the 26th, we don't know if you're going to be going in. I'm available, but we don't know if you're going to be going into investigations that day or working overtime and stuff. So, just keep me up to date, and hopefully we can get this train rolling again because I miss it. And I'm got all my bullshits out of the way. Surgeries, houses, deaths in the family, all that stuff's done.
Well, hopefully that's done.
Yeah, hopefully. All that shit's done.
I'm not emotionally equipped to handle that one.
Yeah. So this is one of the things that when Kim said you're retired, do something you enjoy. I want to get back to making this a priority like it was when I was up at night and had nothing else to do. I just like doing this. And people seem to enjoy the show, and I want to keep it going. So
you could do a White Sox one.
A White Sox show? I can get the Pope on.
Yeah, you could do a daily White Sox. You could. You could try.
I sent you a video.
You got sports connections in Chicago.
Yeah, I do. Did you get the video I sent you from the World Series with the Pope in the they shot away to him in the stands as a fan against the Houston Astros? He was not a bishop. They call him Preacher Bob. And in the South Side, that's where his church was. So,
but no, I was saying that I think that it illegitimizes the White Sox world title, just because obviously that's not cool.
Obviously, that's not cool.
Yeah, it's not cool. You can't have the Pope bring in God into the World Series just to benefit the White Sox.
Well,
it's illegitimate.
We can now. Hopefully, he'll pray that we don't lose another 121 games.
Illegitimizes.
I want to show up.
So you know what I remember about this website?
What?
It's about the 2-hour mark. It would start getting real fucking stupid.
Oh, okay.
And it's getting real fucking stupid at about the 2-hour mark.
Yeah, it is. We're overloading their system. So I guess with that.
Yeah.
I guess with that, we'll have to say goodbye.
The Pope didn't like me saying that. So now.
Yeah. He put an end on.
He's putting an end to it.
He put an end on it. And it's time to go. Unfortunately. So thank you for listening to episode 70 of the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast. Thanks to our sponsors, Surf Prep Sanding. They are sticking with us no matter
what.
They're
awesome.
They are awesome. So check them out at surfprepsanding.com for all your surf prep needs, sanding needs, paper needs, machine needs, all of it. They have it all. Got anything to say, Brandon?
Vacuums, lights, everything.
They got lights?
Do good. Yeah, the little sanding light, the little finishing light.
Oh, I got to get back on the website.
So you can see the little swirls.
I got to check that out. All right. Peace, bitches.
Bye.
Bye. See ya.
Okay, I love you. Bye.
Bye.